Last month, the beer company Anheuser-Busch did a marketing promotion with popular social media influencer Dylan Mulvaney, who is transgender. She posted a video on Instagram to promote a Bud Light contest for the March Madness college basketball tournament. The company sent her a personalized beer can with her face on it as part of the partnership. Then, prominent conservative commentators called for a boycott of Bud Light beer, putting the company in the crosshairs of the so-called culture wars. Anheuser-Busch has reported a decline in sales for Bud Light and some of its other products in the months since the backlash began. Two of the company's marketing executives have gone on leave. It's the latest example of consumers' political beliefs influencing what they purchase or choose not to buy. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How do your political and social views influence the products you buy or don't buy? Are there certain companies or products that you prefer or avoid for political reasons? Are there companies whose politics you know you kind of disagree with, but you still purchase from them anyway? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nushin Warren is an associate professor of marketing at the University of Arizona's Eller College of Management, where she researches political marketing and the financial impact of marketing strategies. Nushin, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much.
Now, Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch and lots of other companies have done LGBT-related marketing and promotions in the past. It seems like with less controversy. Why do you think this year, this particular outreach sparked a lot of backlash?
Well, one factor of it that you named, interestingly, people call it cultural war, where in fact, even it is not that much of a political divide, rather it is a generational divide. And as we move further, the fact is that a lot of firms will lose some of their older generation and then gain some younger generation. And this divide between these two generations is so wide. If you look at Gen Zs, they already have started on saying that 60% of them will not buy from a brand that is not value conscious. So firms are dealing with this issue, and year by year, it's going to get increasingly more big and important for firms. But then the second issue that they're facing is how to respond to this pressure. So this pressure exists. You have to respond to it. And firms can be purely profit-seeking, purely ideologically do it, or somewhere in between.
No.
And yes.
A lot of times companies might run into trouble if they do something specifically political, you know, advocate for or against a bill or a candidate or donate to someone or something like that. This case seems a little different. Now, we've seen Bud Light declining in sales just because of marketed competition, having trouble bringing on younger beer drinkers in particular. This outreach seemed not so much like a political statement as we want to reach in and tap a market that doesn't drink our beer as much as they want to. Do you see that being a little different?
Exactly. And that is the whole point of this generation divide. The younger generation are actually going towards craft beer and local beer. They're not going for big companies, giant companies that have been there for a while and cater to older generations, more conservative generation, which is kind of goes hand in hand. So capturing that new consumer market is very important. It's vital for firms. But how to capture it is an issue that you can go purely political in. But in this case, it's just capturing the interest of this young generation and publicity of it. It has dangers, obviously, as we are seeing, but it is not. It actually reminds me a lot of Gillette case, because in that case also the culture of shaving and younger generation going towards this little subscription firms was making the sales decline. And that was when Gillette decided to try to attract to the new market. Bud Light to me seems a little bit more like that rather than pure political values.
Now, when companies make a statement, intentionally or otherwise, that results in a political backlash and calls for a political boycott, how much does it actually impact the bottom line? I'm guessing the answer may be it depends.
Definitely it depends. But Generally speaking, and so far what our research has shown, is that boycott eventually will die down. And the reason it's loud and we hear it and it becomes kind of very important at the time is that usually boycott is, it can be interesting. It can be a lot of controversial debates in social media, but it can also be burning the product of a company, which happened to Nike at the time in 2016. It was Gillette razors in the toilet. It is right now, I've seen a lot of bumper stickers giving a finger to Bud Light. These are reactions that are loud and goes viral. But at the end of the day, you have consumers that have been loyal to some brands for a long time. And even if they get angry for a while, they still want to go back to their product because they liked it. Are all of them do that? Probably not. But a lot of them do. And the past, this past kind of incidents have shown that, yes, you're still having a declining market. And maybe that was why you got involved in. But you got some of your sales back from those boycotters.
We're talking to University of Arizona marketing professor Nooshin Warren about political consumerism, when our politics influence which products we purchase or avoid, and how companies try to navigate when to make a statement, a political or social statement, when not to. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you decided to buy from a certain company or brand because of a political or social statement, or to avoid one of those companies or brands for the same reason? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. If you tried calling in and had trouble with our phone lines, I think we have that sorted out now. 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking to Nooshin Warren. She's an associate professor of marketing at the University of Arizona's Eller College of Management, and we're looking at the ways that politics can shape our purchasing decisions. Some conservatives started boycotting Bud Light beer after Anheuser-Busch partnered with a social media influencer who is transgender. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you participating in this boycott? Puzzled by the boycott? Do you make decisions on buying stuff based on what you understand to be the political or social views of the company involved? Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Paul is with us in Spooner. Paul, hi.
Good afternoon. I can tell you right now, in a small town, I know people that are business people that are opposite political beliefs of mine, and I have no problem giving them my money because I'm happy that they're in my town. But if they want to put up their signs out in front of their business, or if they want to start wearing their hat that they still have, or keep their signs from previous year elections, they're sending me a political statement. They're trying to make a political statement with their business. So I, in return, should vote by holding my money back. So I definitely do vote with my dollar, and I expect that Bud Light knew exactly what they were doing, and their sales were going to recover. But we as consumers need to feel comfortable who we work with when we spend our money, so we should vote with our dollars.
Paul, thanks a lot for that call. Nooshin, what do you think?
I totally agree with that, in the sense that everyone has this right to pick from a competitive market the company that is closer to their values, or as Paul pointed out, vote for a company with our money. The issue is, firms also look at it as a political campaign sometimes, that where the target market would be to bring more votes for them. So for them also, this is a business question. They will look into how much they might lose and how much they might gain. So I respect all people who try to vote on a company with their money, and probably companies do too. But it can become just a pure business decision, and sometimes it is.
Paul, thanks a lot for that call. Stan joins us now in Green Bay. Stan, hello.
Yeah, hi. First rule of marketing is don't tick off your core audience. Know who your key customer group is. And yes, you do want to expand, but you can't alienate your core customer in order to do that. And in the case of Bud Light, that's a rural beer. You know, and if your fan base is country music and Toby Keith, you don't bring in RuPaul to be your spokesperson. It just doesn't make sense. I think as a general rule, you should stay out of politics in the business field if you can. You look at, like, the fight between DeSantis and Disney. You know, if Disney wins, they still lose. It still costs them millions and millions of dollars to fight a government that can fight them for free. And it just doesn't make sense to alienate, you know, half your customer base as a general rule.
Stan, thanks a lot for the call. A couple things there. First of all, you've done work on this, Nooshin, on the idea of, companies better be very careful when it comes to, as Stan says, their core customers.
Yes. So some of our research actually showed exactly this issue, that as long as you are aligned with your customer, you probably will have a lot less negative results back from your political actions. Now, sometimes the issue becomes, can we even stay from politics? So even if we realize that, okay, my core customer is not that much on my side or this issue's side, can I still stay quiet? Sometimes it's not even possible, as we saw in the case of border bill in Georgia and Coca-Cola, because your customers will pressure so much that put you in a position that even your silence can become a statement. So there are times that it becomes very difficult. But there are also times that a firm realizes that maybe they have to move from a core customer base to a new one. So that is sometimes a very risky move to make. And in those cases, I actually believe that one of the issues is whether to do it completely and go all in or do it hesitantly, which in the case of Bud Light, I think their biggest issue is that they didn't actually go all in. They did this and then put their executives on leave, which doesn't make any, it doesn't help in either way. They already have core customers that are upset and they couldn't or can't with this performance achieve new market, because younger people also can see that this is basically a marketing move. However, as I said, for core customers, moving towards a new customer base that are not very willing to go for big beer companies, it is something that firms should look into gradually if they want to not lose market in the long run.
Thanks again for the call, Stan. Stan also brought up a big story now at Disney. Now, Disney's had two backlashes when they provided benefits for same-sex partners in their corporate empire. And now with the thing going on in Florida over their protest of the so-called Don't Say Gay bill in that state. And one of the arguments from Disney is, hey, we're talking about some of our staff here. The people who work for us are affected by these decisions. That's why, in part, they say they advocated on that. How important is it to think not just about the customers, but the stakeholders who work within that company?
Well, that is very important. And one thing that is happening in the past, I'm going to say a recent decade, is that firms have started putting statements of DEI, diversity and inclusion, on their websites and trying to integrate that with their policies. Now, if they do that, if I'm putting a statement that says everyone, any diverse group is included in my company, and then do not provide equal benefits to different diverse groups, these groups can make this a very loud noise that we have seen on social media, and then that will attract a lot more anger. So firms either have to stay away from diversity and inclusion, which is very difficult to do now, or they have to try to follow through with what they put on their website. So in the case of employees, that is very important, very dangerous if firm tries to kind of play this game. But there are also sometimes, again, moves toward Disney right now has parents bringing the kids to Disney that might not still be ready for this generation change, but those kids are. And in terms of government, we've seen that before as well. Delta took promotions from NRA members, and they got a really big tax hit from the government of Georgia. But their CEO's point was, this is what our value is, and this is what we are going to do. We might lose some customers and we might lose some money, but we are going to gain it from the other side or the other group of customers. Again, to me, this is a move that only has to happen if you are going all in.
And then we'll leave it there. Nooshin, thanks again for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you.
That's Nooshin Warren, Associate Professor of Marketing at the University of Arizona, with us today to look at politics and how they affect consumer behavior in the wake of conservative boycotts of Bud Light beer.